The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show devoted to living a life you genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt. I am a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. Today, my guest is Lori Koop. Lori is a fellow life coach who lives in Sierra Madre, California. We went through our life coach training certification together 9 years ago and have remained coaching buddies and friends over the years. And we've always kind of wanted to do a radio show and spend some time together talking to our audience. So with so many going through tough times right now, we decided this might be the perfect opportunity to share with you some of our favorite strategies on how to navigate through those times and to feel better while doing so. Both of us have seen a broad spectrum of tough times for ourselves, clients, family members and friends, and not only from the coronavirus situation that we're all experiencing right now, but just from life in general. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Lori's going to join us, and we will share some of our favorite strategies that we have found to be effective and the easiest to implement to not only feel better, but to use those strategies as an opportunity to enhance your life. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show devoted to living a life you genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt, a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. Today, my guest is Lori Koop. Lori is a fellow certified life coach who I've had the absolute pleasure of getting to go through life coach training with, and we've also held each other's hands and provided coaching for each other for the past 9 years. And it's such a pleasure to have you, Lori. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh, I'm thrilled, Lisa.
Great. Finally.
As you mentioned, it's been a dream for a long time. So,
yes.
I mean, just to join your hands and then, you know, help others. I feel very fortunate.
Yes, it's awesome. So anyway, Lori, just so the audience knows a little bit about you, tell us a little bit about your practice and who your clients are.
It's interesting because it's been a journey. I have a business accounting degree. So I've combined coaching with helping entrepreneurs find their way. But the essence of what I do, I would say, you know, the training with the life coach and such has been about the real you, about helping people find their true self and to run their lives from that very centered core of truth, who they were created to be, and helping them to get back to that place of just absolute surety in themselves. Not that life becomes perfect, but that they know how to manage it well and take care of themselves and enjoy life to its fullest.
Awesome. And so when you say your true self, can you kind of give us a little bit more information about what does that mean to you? And
yes. So the true self that I define as that essence is our spirit, is the place that is incorruptible. I have this visual, it looks like a donut. And so that inner hole is the place of the spirit. And around that I envision as like the human part of us, the ego, and ways that we process as human beings. But the essence of who we are, that spirit, is a very known and I'll say defined, created essence that I think comes with us as we land here on Earth. Mm-hmm. And there's this humanness that we have to kind of swim through to get back to and continue to connect to that true self. Because in that sure spirit, we have no fear and we actually know what direction and decision to make. So if we can live from that place, I mean, I know that's what we're going to be talking about today, because any kind of storm that comes out in the world or within ourselves is what we're living through. But it's in a sense, it's how we process that truth, like, or I shouldn't even say truth, but the experience that we're living through is how we describe it is key to how we experience it.
Right.
And exactly. the closer, or the sooner we can get back to our essence, the more clear and sure and peaceful we'll be in navigating that storm.
Yes.
Does that help? Is that?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and again, that's a lot of the reason why we wanted to do this show, is because I do think a lot of people are navigating storms right now. And, you know, and it doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily because of the coronavirus, but some of the, I mean, it was just kind of a good opportunity, because there are so many tough times that are coming at people from this experience. But, you know, in life in general, it's just a part of the process. So anyway, you know, as we kind of talked about yesterday, we just both kind of agree that tough times generally come from grief. And grief is the loss of, or perceived loss of, something, a relationship, a job, health, income, freedom, opportunity. It's basically the same regardless of which one of those circumstances or situations shows up. And it generates fear about the future and stirs up regret about the past. And it generally generates a lot of ruminating thoughts about what we should have done differently, or what could have happened if only we would have. And those kinds of thoughts tend to put us into our bodies into a feelings of heaviness and constriction, and we feel gloomy. And it's I believe that kind of defines what our tough times feel like. And we end up feeling stuck and overwhelmed. And if we don't take the opportunity to move through it, it can linger unnecessarily. And really what we're hoping to do today is to provide some strategies to kind of help lift people from that, those feelings of heaviness and overwhelm and being stuck. So any other thoughts on that, Lori, about what, you know, where these tough times come from and how they feel?
Well, the word that came to mind is that idea of being paralyzed.
Yeah.
Of feeling like you want to get out from underneath, but you don't really have the energy to even, like, lift it or lift anything. And
yes,
there's just, like, as you described, a heaviness of one's motivation and energy is lacking, and there's just a very like a deadness to our existence or our drive, where we're really not used to it oftentimes.
Right.
It hits everybody, those that are like at the top end of their business or at the very, you know, beginnings of their lives. It doesn't matter. It grabs a hold of any and everybody that potentially invites it in or allows it in.
Yep.
Or doesn't maybe have. I mean, there is definitely grieving that is necessary, but then there's also it's that clean and dirty pain essence of it, of like, how long do you want to stay in it? And I think that's the interesting component we can discuss today, which is, you know, it never feels good to be in grief.
Right.
It's part of the process, but how do we navigate it in a healthy way?
So, and I'm sure that the audience is a little bit curious about, okay, what's the difference between clean pain and dirty pain? So do you want to say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning, actually, because it's a phrase that we learned in our coaching, but it's like I had forgotten it, but
it's familiar to
mind.
Us. Yeah.
So, this idea of clean pain being just being with it and being sad without the story connected to it. So it's really allowing the feeling in of the loss that is happening or anticipating. Well, actually, it's the anticipation is the storytelling. But, okay, so there's the pure way, which is the clean pain, which is just being in that space. And then the dirty pain is what we create by the thought, by how we describe this situation. It's our storytelling mechanism. It's our humanness to make meaning. Right. So we start to either dream into the future or the past, and we're not present, but we're creating the visuals, the imagination of something that's very painful. And that brings in pain based on our construction, really.
Right. And I think the thing that you brought up, which is such a good point, is that we have gone through grief throughout our entire lives. And we forget that we have experienced these feelings of loss throughout our lives, and we've gotten through them. And mm-hmm. they're for every reason, you know, like I said, all the different reasons that I mentioned before. And the other thing that I think we tend to forget is that we are, everybody on the planet experiences these feelings of discomfort and grief. Mm-hmm. Nobody is exempt. And mm-hmm. and the other thing is that when there is the grief from change, from loss, generally speaking, there's an opportunity to grow. And, you know, and when we look back over our lives, there's, you know, you can really see it. But when we're in it at the moment, it just feels so uncomfortable that it's hard to fathom that anything good could happen from it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, to keep that in mind, and especially with all the things that are going on right now, it's ever since the beginning of this whole experience, I just in the back of my mind, I have to believe that there are going to be some phenomenally good things that come out of it. It's might take a while, but it is an opportunity to change and grow in some of the ways that can definitely benefit all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we need to go to break. And when we come back, Lori and I will start walking you through some of our favorite strategies on navigating through tough times. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show devoted to living a life you genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. Today, my guest is Lori Koop, who is a fellow certified life coach, and we are talking about navigating through tough times. We were just talking about how, generally speaking, tough times are usually related to some sort of grief or loss. Could be a job, could be a relationship, could be freedom of some sort, could be income. It doesn't really matter. It produces feelings of constriction and heaviness and gloom and doubt and fear. And nobody really loves to be there. However, we're hoping that we can show you that out of these times, there are ways to navigate through and to come out on the other side with an opportunity to actually enhance your life. So one of the things that Lori and I both agree upon is one of the most valuable and effective things that you can do for yourself is to find calm when you are going through tough times. And calm is where we get clarity, we feel better, we can see opportunities that might be there for us, we can make our best decisions, and we're able to move forward in a better direction. So how do you get to calm? That's always a good question. So Lori, I know we talked about some strategies that you like to recommend for your clients and that you also practice yourself. So why don't you jump in and share some of those with us?
Well, my first and foremost is the journaling, because I feel like there's a lot of things that go on in our head and continue to kind of circulate and even pollute the peace. But when you begin to write it down, it's like you're flushing it out. You're cleaning out the system.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's like a connection when I'm talking about like my spirit. When I'm making that connection with my spirit, that's where the calm is. And so as I write, I will definitely be starting in that like outer donut in the thick of things, in the pain of things, and I just continue and coach my clients to continue to write through those feelings, put them all down on paper, and begin to move through them. There's something about dumping them that gives them a place of being and allows them to exit my mind, and again, allows free space then when I don't have that thought in there kind of jamming up the system.
Absolutely.
I mean, in just like a little side note regarding journaling is not to leave it in a deep, dark place. I also think it's a place of asking for insight from your spirit and asking for new ways of seeing things. I know we were talking about just the thoughts and how they are related to how we're feeling and how do we find calm. It really does start with, well, what am I thinking about? Because right. Whatever I'm thinking about is causing some kind of reaction in my body, and it's either making me feel calm or not.
Exactly. And so, you know, and how do you know when you are calm is something that maybe not everybody is that familiar with. The difference between being calm and not calm, what does that look like?
Well, for me, my gosh, I might even call it maybe a temperature or like a vibration in my mind when I'm calm. I guess it does start in my mind where I feel like there's not this like, if you're into metal, like music, may not relate to this, but like right. Just this really hard beat in my brain that continues to like pound into me scary thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is when I am in a place of discombobulation or confusion, fear. It feels like my feet are not on the ground. So I definitely know when I'm not at peace because I don't think about taking a nice deep inhale and exhale.
Right.
When I can do that and I feel in my body that exhale of like just like breathing it out and coming to just be, then I'm in the calm state. Even in the storm, I can be in the calm state.
Right.
I mean, that's what we're talking about, being in that place of, hey, I'm going to be where I need to be, even in the storm.
Right. Yeah, and I know that for me, when I am not in my feeling of calm, I feel like I have frenetic thoughts just running through my head and nothing is really settling or feeling right. And it's very difficult to make decisions from that place because then I keep finding myself going, well, what about this or what about this? And then nothing seems to land and feel like it's the right answer because my brain is so frenetic. And it's especially disturbing in the middle of the night when, you know, those thoughts, you wake up and all of a sudden you remember what's, you know, what your tough time is all about. And that's when I feel like, you know, it takes your sleep away from you and then it affects the rest of your day and it becomes kind of a cyclical thing. So, you know, those are some of the ways that you can notice when you are not in a state of calm. And so like Lori said, to journal, which I think is a great strategy as well. I know that I try to wake up every morning and journal at least three pages of a legal tablet and just get all my thoughts out on a piece of paper. Like you said, it's like dumping them and making me aware of what's going on in my head. So I can definitely kind of take a look at that and that calms me down to be able to be aware of what's running amok in my head. So I think that's a really good strategy.
Can I add something to that?
Sure, of course.
Is that journaling is more of a, if we can even think of it as a two-way conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So that we're journaling and dumping, but we're also posing questions on the page. And as we continue to write, if we're just like letting that flow happen, we will find the answers actually appear after the questions oftentimes. And we'll go like, whoa, what a great idea.
Yes.
And it'll kind of like, whoa, I don't know. It's really fun in the way that my inner self, that peaceful spirit guide, wants to help me if I just give it opportunity to speak. And that's why I like the writing, because often the chatter of the I used to call it left brain, but I think left and right are kind of different now. But the chatter that I'm trying to get beyond into the truth, into that peaceful, calm state of spirit connection.
Yes. And I think it's a great way to get to know who you really are. And I think that's one of those things that, you know, we don't always give ourselves that much opportunity to do, because we have our to-do lists and we're running all over the place and we're, you know, raising kids and we're engaged in work. And so to just take some opportunity every day, I mean, it takes maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And it's a great way to get familiar with who you are and you know, discover, you know, some solutions to what might be going on in your life, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great strategy. What other strategies do you have for finding calm?
I love going for a walk or doing my, you know, run in the morning. I will often put that problem or something that I'm struggling with in my brain, and then I just take off and kind of let it do its thing. I'm not forcing anything, but I'm just becoming more present as I walk or run, and kind of releasing the tension of the immediate, mental anguish. Or is it, you know, in that anguish place, we're trying to make a decision. It's just everything seems like a guess, and we're always second guessing. So as you walk, or I find exercise, just getting out of the house, getting into nature, even just going to a garden or your backyard and sitting there and just being is, I think, an amazing strategy for letting the thoughts go.
And it's simple and it's free and it's readily available, which is always nice too. Definitely. And, you know, and one of the things that I try to do and I try to tell my clients to do too is to go on a, like, when you go outside, make it a sensual experience. I'll say, like, take a minute and just listen. Listen to all the different sounds around you that you probably wouldn't notice. And it's kind of fun and it's fascinating to do that. And then run through all your senses. Go through, you know, smell and see, and just really kind of enjoy what's around you. And it gets you out of your head and away from those thoughts that might be kind of, you know, running amok in there. And it really gives you a chance. For me, that's one of the most calming things I can do, because you can't experience your senses in the past or in the future. It's really a now experience. And there is something extremely calming about right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one of the things that we learned when we were going through our certification is that when you're in a state of anxiety, or, you know, things are feeling a little bit crazy around you, is to just bring yourself down to this moment and ask yourself, am I okay right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I don't think I've ever asked myself that question, and the answer has not been absolutely yes. It's really when we're worrying about what's going to happen in the future or regretting the past that creates those feelings of fear and regret that that take us out of our calm. And so that's a really good technique for me. Anything else?
Well, I just wrote down another thought, which was that as a means of getting to calm, sometimes it takes talking to a supportive friend or family member. Like, we were designed for community, and if we pull back completely and try to do all of it on our own, it can feel very overwhelming. And just to have a listening ear or somebody potentially offer solutions, if that's what, I mean, ideas, obviously we have to make the decision, but
yes,
this bringing someone into our world so we're not completely alone is a really, I think, beneficial way to work through those feelings of grief.
Yes, and another thing is to, like you said, to have one person in particular or a couple of people that are your inner circle of who you share yourself and your thoughts with, and instead of it making it be you're talking to everybody about everything, you know, to just have those people that can relate well to you and love you and support you, and can just kind of allow you the opportunity to bounce ideas off of them or to just vent and to express exactly what you're going through is super helpful. And I think everyone appreciates the opportunity to help each other. And so even though sometimes I've had clients say, oh, I don't want to bother people with that, it's like, it's one of those gifts that we give to each other. So, you know, it can not only be reciprocal, but, you know, it is honestly, I think it feels as good to the person receiving the opportunity to be support person as it is the person who's, you know, giving that opportunity. So I think that's super important. Anyway, so it's time to go to break again. And when we come back, Lori and I will talk about some other strategies on navigating through tough times. And also for the latest information from this broadcast and the radio station is you can go to NorthIdahoRadio.com. You can keep up to date with the show schedules, news, weather, and more at NorthIdahoRadio.com. Listen live anytime with our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com. And you can hear the show anytime. Just go to NorthIdahoRadio.com and go to the Noon Show Audio tab. So we're going to go to break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show devoted to living a life you genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt. I'm a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Lori Koop, who is also a certified life coach, and we have been talking about navigating through tough times. And another thing that we wanted to share with you is to look for opportunity in tough times. As difficult as something is, regardless of what it is, to be able to, first of all, get to a place of calm, and then to look at it and ask yourself, like, what are some benefits that might come out of this? How might this some way enhance my life? We're not saying it's easy to necessarily do that, but generally speaking, some of the very best things that happen in our life, if you go back and look at how that opportunity happened in your life, it generally was a spinoff from something that was a tough time of some sort. So, Lori, do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we are creative individuals. When we're in calm, our creativity and ideas can reach us, and those creative thoughts are potentially next steps. And like you're saying, the opportunities, the open doors, ways that we can move from where we are now into a more pleasurable situation.
Absolutely. And so one of the questions that I know we were asked when we were going through life coach training, and I know that I was struggling with, I was so ready to retire from my school district position. I was just ready to move on, and I knew I had to do it for another year, and it seemed like an overwhelming amount of time. And I know that my mentor coach at the time, she asked me, what's perfect about this situation? And she had me come up with three things. And, you know, it was like, well, I still get a paycheck. I know what I'm doing, and I'm good at what I do, and it's going to give me an opportunity to have some time to decide what I'm going to do after this. And so even though I kept finding myself ruminating about how I hated going to work and I didn't want to have to do this job anymore and I just wanted my freedom, it was really genuinely I needed those three things in order to happen so that I could retire and be in a better place. So that was, to me, one of my favorite questions. So, you know, I think that, like we talked about, I think it's just to take any situation, any circumstance, and try to find what the advantage might be in being in that position. Mm-hmm. Anything come up for you about that?
Well, I definitely love that question, even though it really stretches people when you say what's perfect about this, and it's a super painful situation.
Yes.
To just start to open the window or the door to the possibility of something beneficial happening is, I think, super valuable for ourselves, for our thinking.
Yes.
The other thing I love, you know, the three better thoughts that were justifying you staying or kind of supporting your decision to work another year before retiring is to write it down. I find that when you're in the midst of that painful feeling, it's really hard to come up with enticing, inspiring reasons why you're doing this.
Right.
So I use the metaphor, or the example of, like, take it out of your back pocket. Keep it in your back pocket. It's this list that instantly brings you back to truth.
Yep.
And gets you to exhale. And
yes.
Now you're back on track. Like, it's like a retraining of your brain, which wants to kind of grab at the painful thoughts. I don't know. There's probably a tendency within our human being to keep us safe or to, I don't know. I don't know why it tends to go towards the negative, but when I have those positives in my pocket and pull them out, I can restore that positive way I want to feel and think.
Exactly.
In an instant. And I do it when I'm in peace and calm, you know, come up with those, how it's perfect, and then I just hold that as ways to continue to get me back on that path.
Exactly.
That is truth and peaceful.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things we didn't really mention, but I think is huge, is breathing, is just simply breathing to get you into a place of calm. Because usually when we're in a tough time, we are not breathing very deeply. And it's so simple to just really give yourself the opportunity to sit, get comfortable. Just taking three deep breaths has an amazing effect upon your body. It allows all your systems in your body to do what they're designed to do. It increases your blood flow, and you can feel better right away. And so that can also help you get to a place where you can perhaps look for opportunity in these tough times. Another thing that we had already talked about as well when we were talking about what we wanted to share was the accepting of what is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if a spouse decides they want to get a divorce, if you get diagnosed with something that you would not like to be diagnosed with, if you lose your job, if you have a reduction of income, and there's nothing you can do to control what happened, the best thing you can do for yourself is accept it. And we spend so much time fighting what is, and it robs us of our energy and our ability to think clearly. And it takes us to a place where we are attempting to do something that we have no capability of doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the best strategies is, like, regardless of what shows up, is to ask yourself, you know, like, what can I control here and what can't I? And to be realistic about it and accepting of it.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that?
Well, accepting what is, I just saw this, which I often see, is the flow of a river. And when I accept, I'm just flowing where life is going to take me anyway. But when I'm not accepting, I'm trying to swim upstream. So all my energy and effort is being put into a situation that really, in essence, can't be changed.
Yeah.
And it's just going to exhaust me and leave me feeling worse.
Yep.
So this idea of accepting what is about giving up the fight and just being where you are so that you can take all those resources and all that creative energy and start to be in this situation and resolving.
Yes.
You're like, where do I want to go? Where do I want to steer this inner tube as I'm flowing down the river? You know, instead of trying to get upriver, it's going to take me somewhere. I want to decide as much as I can. Again, being in control, there's certain things I'm in control of and certain things I can't control.
Exactly.
And that's a lot of life, you know, just giving up on what you cannot control, but really standing in all the ways that you are in control.
Yep. And put your energy there.
Yeah.
Which leads me to another one of our strategies is to focus on what you want and to think, feel, and act from what you want. It feels so much better because that is exactly where your control is. It all comes back to you. And what can you do in this moment to get yourself moving in the direction of where you want to go? So, like, you know, you can take action in that direction. And one of my favorite questions is, after I focus on what I want, what can I do right in this moment to get closer to that?
Mm.
And sometimes that might be just to get calm. And then once I get calm, then I can get to a place where I can think again. So what might I be able to do right now? Is there a phone call I can make? Is there a text I can send? Is there information I can gather online? It feels so much better to be inspired by what you want as opposed to acting out of fear for what you don't want.
Yeah. I love a vision book or a vision board or this idea, because as I'm thinking about this idea of dreaming into what you do want, there might be some more grief. And so to get clearly through the grief into that place of hope and really executing the new dream might just exist in pictures at this time. Like maybe it's just an exercise of putting those things out there so that you can catch a glimpse of it every day. Despite what the reality is in your world, you're still moving towards that. And yes, I definitely, like as you journal, ask, what is my next step? What can I do today to inch me forward? Because the more people I talk to, the more experiences I hear that it's in those little baby steps that they...
Yep.
Succeed.
Baby
but it's
steps.
Not a big leap. It's those little consistent moves.
Exactly. And so, and to pay attention to your body, if you are deciding to take action in a certain direction and you're feeling heavy or lethargic or uninspired, it's not the right direction for you. If you feel, on the other hand, excited and ready and, you know, enthusiastic about moving in that direction, take that step, even if, like Lori said, if it's the smallest and tiniest step. Mm-hmm. Anyway, those are some of our strategies that have been beneficial for ourselves, our families, our friends, and our clients. And we hope that they can help you through some of your tough times as well. So, Lori, I thank you so much for being with us today. It's been such a pleasure. So if listeners wanted to connect with you, how might they be able to reach you?
Okay. The easiest is just to go to my website, and I have like an inquiry form or just, you know, reach out with an email.
Okay.
It's LoriKoop.com.
Great. Lori, thank you so much. And if you want some further navigation in tough times, let's talk. You can reach me at 714-349-4444. 4570. That's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening in. Stay tuned for our next show, which is June 22nd. And in the meantime, remember, now is your life. Get out there and really live it.